Well, secondly comes sila, literally uprightness, often translated as morality, though this isn't a very fortunate translation. The bodhisattva, in the first place, abstains from taking life. Right? He's very careful not to injure other living beings, even the humblest. He cultivates, putting it more positively, using Albert Schweitzer's phrase, he cultivates reverence for life. He feels the value of life, the uniqueness of life. He feels, I haven't called it into being. I haven't created it. I can't replace it when it's destroyed. Eh? So I've no right to take, no right to injure, no right to harm in any way. And among other things, therefore, the bodhisattva tries to be, to the extent that he can, tries to be a vegetarian. He also abstains, in traditional Buddhist phrase, from taking what is not given. He abstains from theft, abstains from fraud. He also abstains, another precept as we call them, abstains from sexual misconduct, which traditionally includes adultery, rape, and abduction. And he also practices right speech. He speaks always truthfully, and he speaks always with love. Some people, when they speak the truth, speak it rather harshly, rather unfeelingly. But the bodhisattva not only speaks the truth, but he speaks it with great love and affection, with feeling for the person to whom he is speaking. And he also speaks in accordance with the needs of the person to whom he is speaking. Speaks with awareness of them. And he also speaks, whether speaking to one person or to many people, speaks in such a way as to promote harmony and concord and unity. In other words, the bodhisattva practices real communication. He also abstains from whatever is inimical to mindfulness, and this is usually understood to refer to overindulgence in alcohol, in drinks and drugs. One could, of course, extend this precept to cover many other things.